You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Yeah! Happy Tuesday to everybody out there. And Slee, you know what? That is, I shouldn't have given away that idea for nothing. That is just a too good of an idea. The edible burrito tape. You can roll it up just like a roll of scotch tape, tear a little piece off, patch the hole, and keep it moving. That's something I should have kept to myself.
I don't think we're that far off from you just one morning reaching out to Funches and I and say, hey, guys, an investment that I made a couple years ago has really hit, and we're under full production now. So I appreciate what you guys were doing in the morning, but let's just say I don't have to do this anymore. And then that's it. You drop the mic and you're out.
I'm going to be like one of those credit card commercials that said, you know, I used to be doing this dead-end job, but now, you know, I got my blankety-blank credit card and I used my points to invent a burrito tape company. And now all I do is patch burritos and make millions of dollars.
That would be
a good deal, right?
Your quote would be, I used to be working with these Yahoos, but that's over. What's going on, man? How are we
it's
doing,
It's an exciting Chad? Time for you. I was thinking about this, and I just want to make sure that you are squared away because I worry about you. Mm-hmm. You know you don't have to go to the studio tonight, right? That you are good, that there's no Laker game, there's no Laker talk, there's nothing. Mm-hmm. You can complete this show and then go have dinner, which you like to do at around 11:30 in the morning. you're good to go.
I'm going to hit up MT and say, hey, Michael, what are you thinking for pregame tonight? Jazz
Just get a
Clippers.
Jump on that first preseason game against the Kings in early October.
I'm going to text Amanda. I'm going to say, hey, I don't know what games we're carrying on the station, but I'd like to do a pregame. I'd like to do a pregame for all these matchups remaining in the NBA playoffs.
Yeah, the Hawks and the Sixers with Alan Sliwa, pregame show. We should do that.
She just wouldn't respond. She would just be like, I'm not responding
woman.
To him.
She's
I'm
a not smart woman. She would know how to do that. It was weird last night, Slee. I'm not going to lie. It was pretty odd to flip on the TV and to see the NBA playoffs taking place. And not just that there wasn't a Laker game, because that's, you know, every other night during the playoffs, but there will not be another Laker game for several months. And we're only in the second round of the playoffs. It's not like they got clipped in a game 7 of the Western Conference Finals. There is nothing but basketball for the next couple of months, and the Lakers are going to have nothing to do with it. It's a very odd deal.
Yeah, you know, what's crazy is we went through how many years the Lakers not even making the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But you knew they weren't going to make the playoffs. So for the most part, you were just kind of – you're kind of getting accustomed to it. There was no surprises or shocks. The problem with this playoff run is you thought it would be a longer playoff run. You thought the Lakers would obviously be in the mix for another deep run where you got a chance to get championship number 18. And everything just ended so quick. You know, you went up 2-1. At one point that you thought, I remember this, Trav, and I know it was just a week ago or so, but you started kind of looking at the second round saying, all right, you know, if you get Denver and Portland, you get one of those two, you got a ticket to the Western Conference Finals. Everything changed so quick. By the way, do you watch? Will you continue to watch these games?
Yeah. I mean, I'll watch them. I'll watch them very differently. I'll watch them without a shred of emotional attachment to it. Mm-hmm. When the Lakers are playing, you know, your emotions get involved. And that's what, look, I'm gonna be sincere for a second, which I hate to do. It's not my default setting.
I don't know if I've ever heard anybody start a sentence and say, I'm gonna be sincere, I hate to do it. What's the thought process there?
It's not a comfortable lane for me, sincerity.
Okay.
But that's what makes sports fun, right? It's actually being invested in the outcomes of these games.
Is
really caring whether or not, because otherwise, for instance, watching the game last night, watching Milwaukee and watching the Nets, I don't really care who wins. I'm mm-hmm. looking to see some fun stuff. I'm looking to see, you know, Kevin Durant do his thing, which is always fun to watch. But mm-hmm. I don't really care in the way that you care when the Lakers miss a shot. It's, oh, God. Mm-hmm. When they make one, you think, okay, here we go. It's finally going to happen. It's just not nearly as much fun when you don't have that emotional attachment.
Yeah, I'm curious if there's a lot of Laker fans that continue to watch the playoffs. If they don't, how much how much because you want to see the Clippers lose if you're watching those games. I found myself, this is so childish. The Clippers and the Dallas Mavericks in the first round, it's actually kind of funny. Michael told me this one time during the pregame. He says he gets so nervous sometimes during the Clipper games. He won't even watch them. He'll just check the scores. I'm like, so I'm not the only one?
Nervous
I'm
about
not the
what?
Only one? You want them to lose.
Yeah, I'll be honest.
How stupid is that on my part, that I want them to lose so much that sometimes I can't just sit back and enjoy a game and see Luka just do what he was doing?
I don't want them to lose because I think it does anything to the Lakers. You know what I mean? Like, no matter what the Clippers accomplish, it doesn't lessen what the Lakers have accomplished. So I don't look at it quite like that. I don't look at it that either.
I don't look at it that way specifically.
What I do like is I like things that are funny. And the Clippers clippering for 50 years in a row is pretty funny to me. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking forward to seeing if they can find a new way to clipper. That's always fun. But if they win, it's not going to be, oh, no. Why does it bother you so much? The Clippers are the Suns to me. They're the Portland Trailblazers. They're the Sacramento Kings. They're no different than those other teams. They don't exist in my world.
I don't know why, but it does. Like, it just kind of seeing their success. This is so stupid. Seeing their success was like, it was incredibly tough to watch. And now they got, you know, obviously now they move on to the second round, which I do think, and I know you and I mentioned this for a brief second, this is a legit, legit second round matchup. I mean, this is a really, really good matchup. I think it should be, right? I think the Jazz Clippers should be good basketball. I think it will be entertaining. But it's, of course, it's never going to have the allure of when you got the Lakers or some of these other premier franchises or premier players. I mean, just think of this, Trav. Kawhi Leonard is a big name, but he's not a big name, right? Like, he's a big name, but he's not a name where people are stopping the way they stop to see Steph, the way they stop to see LeBron, the way they stop to see some of these other players. And you kind of have what the NBA has left. Jokic is a great player, but are people who are casual fans going out of their way and say, well, got to watch Jokic tonight?
Nope.
Embiid is a fantastic, MVP candidate. But are you going out of your way to watch Joel Embiid?
Him a little bit because he's kind of funny. He says things. He likes being the center of attention. Mm-hmm. And when he gets going, there are not too many guys that are like him. He's the closest thing that I've seen, just from a physical aspect, to Shaq, that when he decides it's go time, there's very little you can do to stop him. And I like that he runs his mouth.
I do too.
Like that he calls out other guys. I like those things. So I'd put him in the other category. I will stop and watch Embiid.
The other player, too, is like, you know, we're kind of watching this all unfold. Luka, you and I have talked about must-watch player. Yeah. But Trae Young is becoming a player.
Yeah, Trae
Young
is
becoming a player that nobody was really talking about. This is his first playoff appearance. I find myself, I thought it was so hilarious in that first round. Is Trae Young bowing to the Madison Square Garden and saying, hey, guys, the show is over. It's time to go home. Trae Young? You know, so there are certain storylines coming out of the playoffs, but without the Lakers, obviously it loses the allure.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests on the show appear via the Goodyear Hotline. So I did a show in Las Vegas last night. A friend of mine has a show that here, and I went on and we talked a little bit about the Lakers, right? Mm-hmm. And he was kind of asking me, you know, what is the idea of going on in L.A.? Like, what – and I kind of started thinking about it like this, Lee. And there's really
Before you explain it, was there – ever a moment where you said, you know, if this isn't national, if it's not one of the top five markets in the country,
I'll call you. I was throwing him a bone. I just wanted to be magnanimous, so I just decided to say, I'll do one for you, but otherwise, please don't call me unless it's national. That's kind of my rule of thumb. But I the more I started talking to him, the more I started thinking about it. There are two separate tracks you can take right now as a Laker fan. You can tell yourself the lie, right, which is, hey, look, we had a really short offseason. We only had 71 days.
I like that one. This is right down my alley.
We had to retool the bench. We had to decide on some personnel changes, and we swapped it out. Anthony Davis got hurt and missed a bunch of time.
Oh, I love
LeBron
this one.
James got hurt and missed a bunch of time.
Did you listen to Lakers talk yesterday? This sounds like the blueprint of my show yesterday.
It wasn't meant to be. It's very hard to repeat. It wasn't meant to be. That's the lie you can tell yourself, right? The reality of it all, though,
okay,
may be very different from that, which is, you know what? LeBron James and Anthony Davis are very, very good, and the rest of that team is not. Mm-hmm. And if those guys do not play at their very, very best, the margins for the Lakers to win games get very, very narrow. And those other guys were not at their very, very best very often because of injuries and other things. And that presents a much different challenge moving forward, right? What do you do? Do you just say, hey, look, this was just some bad luck. It was last year we got some good luck. This year we had some bad luck. These things tend to even out. We just, you know, small tweak here and there. Everything's fine. Or do you look at it as LeBron's entering year number 19. LeBron is 37 years old next year, coming off of his first real injury. AD is still an injury-prone player. Despite how good he is, he's hurt a lot. And sure, the supporting cast is nowhere. Kind of two different, very different ways of looking at this, and I think the scarier one is probably the truer one.
Well, I you know, this upcoming season, and I know this is something that you and I are going to hit on because we have about 14 months of a lead-up to next season, okay? So I think we have plenty of time on this. But I think one of the things that kind of comes out, think about how strategic Pelinka has been in the sense of, we're keeping Kuzma. No. THT is a young player. We're going to let this guy develop. He's only 20 years old. Mm-hmm. They have been very – I give Pelinka credit because you can feel the pressure in L.A. and say, we got to freaking win right now. I mean, you put all the chips to the table.
That's every season.
And I think he's taken an approach of like, well, I'm not going to – that's fine that the outside – I'm going to do what I think is best interest, big picture, all that stuff. Trav, I got to be honest. I think this upcoming offseason, you know, and you could start looking at some of the players that are available and all that stuff. I don't think you can have the approach of does 2 years from now really matter? Does 3 years from now really matter? You know, I'm not saying that – I had somebody hit me up on Twitter yesterday saying, hey, Al, you could go out and suggest that the Lakers got to put all their chips at the table, but then the Lakers are going to end up like those Cleveland Cavaliers team where they were completely depleted by the time LeBron was done. Mm-hmm. But, Trav, isn't this all that it's about this upcoming season? Aren't you in a position now where you can't really have much conversations about Lakers didn't make that trade for Kyle Lowry at the trade deadline? Right, and there were probably too many pieces the Lakers weren't comfortable with doing. Do you see a scenario coming out this offseason where you're not giving yourself every opportunity to say, this is kind of it? Because I don't, what happens at you're waiting for LeBron in his 20th season?
Well, I think there's two ways to look at this. Number one, they're never going to be in the Cavs situation for the simple fact that they have Anthony Davis.
Right, he's locked up.
So he's locked up. So whenever
and they're not
LeBron,
the Cavs.
No, they're not the Cavs. You can draw free agents, all of those things. It's Los Angeles and not Cleveland, which is, believe it or not, a better place to live. So you've got that. So I don't think that they're going to fall into a Cavs sort of situation when LeBron decides he's not going to play anymore. That I don't think is on the table. The other thing, though, I think you're spot on. And I think that Rob Pelinka has one of maybe four or five jobs in all of sports. I'm not talking about the NBA. I'm not talking about just basketball. I'm talking about sports. And he has a virtually impossible task that he needs to balance at all times. I need you to win the championship now, today, this season, right now, while simultaneously making sure that we never stink. That's really hard to do. He has one of those jobs. Brian Cashman of the Yankees has one of those jobs. Andrew Friedman for the Dodgers has one of those jobs. There's only a handful of them. Places like Alabama football, places, you know, that we will not tolerate.
Some of those European soccer teams, which
for
I know
sure. I don't know that sport well
you're
enough.
You're watching all the time.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Well,
mm-hmm.
I like to get up and put on a scarf and eat something disgusting
and
pretend I'm a soccer fan. That's kind of how I roll. That's
100%.
That's haggis or whatever else, shepherd's pie, one of those things that I don't know. I'm not really a soccer
He's
guy. I know Messi, and that's it.
Funches.
Slices and Capri Sun.
I've seen Travis post stuff on Twitter. His location is at a pub in Santa Monica, all right? This is at 3:30 in the morning to catch his Manchester United.
Is that a team? I think that's a team. Is that Messi's team? Hey.
It's not. No, it's not.
I'd like some more haggis, please.
That's not him.
No,
Trev.
No
different
stomach.
Team. Different team.
No, he plays in Spain, I believe.
Yeah.
See, I know. I'm basically European. It's basically what it comes down to is that I know all things. One of the guys that may or may not be back for the Lakers, Dennis Schroeder, a very important voice in the Laker universe, said, nah, we're good. We'll tell you who it is next. That's coming up. It's Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you tried it yet, Slee? Have you done the power move and just gotten in the front seat of the Uber and said, like, hey, I'm just going to sit up here. Is that okay? But you're not really asking. You're just letting them know.
I'm going to sit middle seat behind.
By the way, that would be even worse.
That's a very uncomfortable. And while I'm sitting there, still kind of reaching up towards the front seat to kind of, like, use their phone for something. What apps you got here?
You know what? You just kind of stumbled on something. The idea of sitting in the dead middle in the back seat by yourself and making hard eye contact with the driver in the rearview mirror, how unsettling would that be for that guy? That would be fantastic. You know what? You may have gone on to something. Like, hey, what's up? You cool if I'm right here? You know what we need to do? 877-710-ESPN. I guarantee you we have Uber drivers out there right now, right? I guarantee you that they're out there listening to us right now.
Mm-hmm.
What is the worst spot for someone to sit in their car? They're assuming they're by yourself, right? If you got more than one person, that's a whole different dynamic. But what makes you, as the driver, the most uncomfortable? Someone sitting in the front, the Travis Rogers move, or somebody going middle back alone? Let's just call that the Sliwa.
I love how I threw in the middle seat, and now it's the Sliwa.
That's a
Sliwa move right there. A Sliwa move.
I like it. 877-710-ESPN. All right, so we were talking a little bit about Rob Pelinka and the challenges that he has. And, you know, doing Lakers talk, you obviously get a lot of these calls about this guy needs to play, this guy needs to go, this guy needs more time, this guy needs less time. Just kind of going back to what we were talking about a second ago, this is so difficult of a job because – You can be in one of two modes. You can be in we're trying to get better so we can win, or we're trying to win right now. You can almost never be in both camps, but the Lakers need to always stay in that first camp without ever getting to go to the second one. But without the second one, you can't stay in the first one very long. It's an impossible putt for the guy.
Well, it's different too because, Trav, this isn't just, well, you know, it's the Lakers franchise and this is what they're accustomed to. Look at the history, the tradition. It's not just this. LeBron's coming into his 19th. As much as the pressure's on because of the Lakers organization, there's also so much more pressure because it's LeBron James. What do you got there, Trav?
Well, I need to interrupt you because I knew this would work, and we're going to do it. I don't. Well, we can get back. Look, see, the Lakers aren't going to play a game for 6 months. We got plenty of time to get to that. This is far more important. We need to talk to an Uber driver, and he's got thoughts on where the worst part
awkward,
is.
Where the awkward seat would be?
Because I would think, and what do I know? I'm not an Uber driver, but I would think directly behind me would be I can't see you. I don't know what you're up to. Maybe you're getting ready to Goodfellas
me in the back seat. Front seat seems much more awkward.
Rancho Cucamonga and Jesse. Jesse here on Travis and Slee. What's the worst spot?
So I honestly think the right behind the driver is the worst spot because you can't see them. And I have personally have been touched and grabbed by some very friendly gentlemen. I'll leave it at that.
Okay.
And where I stopped my car and I dragged them out and I'm like, what's going on?
What if I laid down? What if my head is behind the driver's seat, but I'm fully laid down? You only see my feet.
You can see my feet on the other side.
That's good. I mean, you know, if you're tired, you got to take a nap. No harm, no foul.
But then again,
I'm the king of being awkward myself. So, like, I'll stare right into your eyes for an hour and a half from LAX to the IE. Like, I will stare at you down.
So you're picking me up in Rancho Cucamonga, and you pull up, and I walk out, and I open the front door, and I'm already sitting down, and I say to you, hey, thanks for picking me up, Jess. Appreciate it. I'm going to sit up here. Are you cool with that? What's your response?
Oh, yeah, let's go. Roll with it. But that's just me. I'm borderline, you know, kind of crazy. And I also had a comment about the burrito tape, if you guys want my my
idea. Of course we do. Look, Jesse, these are
the important topics.
Continue. We're actually looking for investors right now. We're looking for if we could.
Well, there it is. So as a cook of 20-plus years, what I usually do, if I ever have a blowout, I'll put some cheese on the grill, get a bubbly, I'll roll the hole in that melty cheese, lift it up, then you have a cheese kind of outer Band-Aid. Then you have, you know.
So
or
we
you
have
get
like
some
a cheese
wonton
patch.
Wrappers and patch it up, but that's a whole other situation.
It's a cheese patch. Instead of using like you use caulk in like a bathtub or whatever to fix a hole, you use cheese to patch.
And we didn't want any more bread. We already got enough tortilla, so we didn't want any more bread. This makes a lot of sense.
So
here.
Basically, an edible tape.
I love it. Thank you, Jesse. That's good news. And call me. We can talk cheese hole patch fill tactics at another time. This is good. We're getting the important things here, Slee. Let's go to the here you go. On the road right now is Ramin on the 405. Ramin, you're on with Travis and Slee. What's up?
How you doing?
Good.
Doing good, buddy. Thank you for calling in.
The worst passengers are the one that when I sit in the front, especially the ladies or the men, and they want all over you, playing with you, touching you. They think you're your buddy.
That's why Travis. Yeah. Travis is a big front seat guy because he wants to, I don't know, reminisce and tell stories about the times that he's driven with other Uber drivers. I don't understand the angle of saying you're going to sit in the front seat, Trav.
So, Ramin, if I got in your car and said, you know, hey, I'm going to sit in the front, you cool with that? Are you telling me to get in the back? What are we doing?
Yes. I tell them my front door is closed, so nobody can sit.
I like that. That's a power move on your part, Ramin. Thank you. I appreciate the phone call. So, Slee, here's my.
Well, wait, just real quick, just so Ramin knows, because Trav, you've gone to the front seat, and then you tried to pull the handle open. It was locked, so you
on the window.
No, then you went to your second move, which was, okay, that's fine. You got in from the back. Once you sat in the back, then you started climbing over to the front seat. No matter what, Trav is getting in the front seat. He's getting in the front seat.
You know what? I honestly don't think I could physically execute that move that you just described. I don't think that little gap between the two front seats would accommodate me at this point. No, if I got there and the front door was locked, I'd be this guy. I'd be rapping on the way, hey, can I get up here? I'd make him very aggressively tell me no, just so Ramin and everyone else understands. I'm not getting in the front seat to touch anybody. I don't touch anybody ever. I'll give maybe a little fist bump to my friends, but I'm not touching anybody. You don't want to touch me, and I don't want to touch you. I just like there's more room. I'm tall.
What was the Uber angle again? What happened here? I forgot how we got into this.
Because I like to sit in the front seat of an Uber because I'm tall. And the back seat, like most Uber, you're not getting like giant cars.
But
typically smaller vehicles, and I don't want to get stuffed in the back seat. So
this conversation come up again? I forgot how it came
up. Because it's awesome? Because it's important?
Was it something from yesterday?
I don't know.
I can't remember. I can't remember the continuation here.
Let's try Linda. Linda, you are on with Travis and Slee. How are you, Linda?
I'm fine.
So you're an Uber driver?
Yes, I am for about almost 3 years now.
Okay, and the front seat is?
The front seat's the worst seat because I don't need you all up in the front seat checking me out. And I have a pretty nice car. I have a Q50, and I have a real big back, nice seat, back seat, and sit back there. Do whatever you want.
Linda, it's kind of weird. Linda, let's take a step back here. Why would Travis be so interested in sitting in the front seat? Doesn't it kind of sound aggressive? It's a little aggressive, Linda.
Oh, it's very aggressive.
Well, because, first of all, I'm nice looking. And he might want to talk to me. And so I'd rather him sit in the back seat and not talk to me.
Well, look, here's the thing, Linda. If you ever see Travis pop up on your Uber sheet, and who knows, maybe we'll cross paths at some point. I don't want to talk. I just want to ride where I'm going. That's fine. But I'd like to sit in the front. I have long legs.
Well, my back seat, I pull my seat all the way up so you can have nice legs.
You got plenty of space. Travis, you got plenty of space.
You have plenty of space. And you can sit back there on your phone or whatever and not bother me, and I'll get you to your destination.
That's all it's about
here.
Linda, thank you.
I might ride in the back. I may make an exception for you.
Linda,
thank you very much.
Thank you for adding some context here. Because, Trav, you can't just walk into somebody else's car and just start setting the rules.
Oh, I
just
do.
Because
that, no, that's exactly what I do. If that front door is not locked, I am in your front seat. That is happening. I'm just telling you right now.
Are you the guy that also says, like, on your way home, hey, can we stop by 7-Eleven real quick?
You know what? Maybe once or twice.
Hey,
you know,
like, there's a Jack in the Box. There's a Jack in the Box 2 miles from here. Just grab a Jumbo Jack real quick.
So I have asked to do that. But you know what the move is? Hey, listen, if you stop at Jack in the Box, you hungry? I'll buy.
You have to do that. What
the answer is about 90% yes. Okay, that sounds cool. Yeah, let's stop. I'll get something.
Just think about this for a second. If you're sitting in the front seat with an Uber driver and you're asking them to go to a fast food place and now you're ordering through, like they have to move their seat back so you could order and you're not going to get them anything. I trust that you would take very good care of them.
It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Of course I'm ordering for myself, and then the other guy can get whatever. I have had people go big, though, like they're buying for their whole family. It's like, I'll have three double
doubles,
two animal fries, and three pink lemon. I'm like,
I'll do the family pack.
I'm going to buy this for you because it's late and I'm making bad decisions already. But maybe we're not feeding your whole family. Maybe it's just you. Maybe just you get a burger. Maybe that's how this is supposed to
You guys do catering? You guys do catering?
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests on the show appear via the Goodyear Hotline, Slee. And see, we're still kind of getting started on Travis and Slee, right?
Yeah.
And Taylor is the board op.
Show number 38. By the way, you can catch the show full 2 hours, Monday through Friday, of course, 8:55 to 11 a.m., on the ESPN app or on iTunes. Just search Travis and Sliwa. You'll get the full 2 hours.
There you go. So that's a good way to get caught up if you don't hear us live, but you should probably listen to us live. That's a good way to do it. Taylor, I just discovered, who's our board op, who I've actually never met other than via Zoom, is tall. Like tall. I'm like 6'3 and a half, you know, kind of closing in on 6'4. He's 6'5.
Taylor's the center on the team. Now he's the center on the team.
Yep. And he said, I'm a front seat in the Uber guy in the Uber ride too. I said, well, yeah, of course you are. You got long legs. You're tall. And he goes, yeah, airplanes are the worst, which reminded me of something, Slee. Can I give you just my 30-second airplane strategy?
Let's hear it. What do you got here?
So most of my flights are Southwest, right? Because, you know, West Coast, cheap, easy, on time, all those things. Love Southwest.
First class Southwest, yep.
But with Southwest, you don't get an assigned seat. You just kind of sit where you sit. So my move is, especially if I get A or B group, and there you can kind of choose where you want, I aggressively go to the middle. And I get as wide as I possibly can and as thick as I can make myself look, trying to make it as awkward as possible.
So nobody wants to get in either one of the seats.
Because they're either one of those seats, you have this fat guy overflowing into your seat.
Yep.
So that's go first and get right in there. Go
so you
set up shop, middle seat, and then you get the whole row to yourself.
I was going to say, so how often do you end up with the entire row?
Half the time.
Okay, because you know what I'm doing? First of all, this is what I'm doing when I'm walking by you. I'm like, who is this a-hole that won't pick either the freaking window or the aisle seat? This dude's really doing middle, and you know what you're doing? Yep, I'm doing that. And yeah, this kind of eye contact being made.
Oh, hard eye contact. Like, I dare you to ask me to move. I dare you. And if by the way, once the plane starts to fill up and you realize it's not going to work, they say, can I get in there? I'll say, I'll just slide over. And I just slide over, and then I don't get the middle seat. I'm not actually going to sit there. I'm just going to make it as uncomfortable as possible for everybody else.
Well, we found out that Travis is down for the front seat in Uber, and he's the a-hole grabbing the middle seat on
genius,
a plane.
Genius is another word. You know, just somebody that's just
– I'm too nice. You know what? I'm definitely way too nice. I'm going window, and I'm just like, I'll just chill right here, whoever comes. I hope they don't sit in the middle. Sometimes occasionally you'll get somebody – by the way, how weird is that? It's like when there's the aisle seat is open, you're coming in the middle. What are we doing here?
Yeah, it's you got to kind of be willing to make it weirder for them than it is for you. It's kind of my rule of thumb. Just make it weirder for the other guy. You can win that stand down. Hey, who's going to be more uncomfortable, you or me? And it's almost always the other person. It's kind of a good way to do it. All right, so back to what you were talking about a second ago with Pelinka. Magic didn't help him yesterday, by the way, either.
Yeah, that was
already saying that Dennis Schroeder is not a real Laker. And I don't think he's got what it takes. He didn't show me anything. He should probably go. If he comes back, I guess I'll root for him. But, you know, Pelinka's job is already hard enough. Magic's just lighting matches and flicking them around the room didn't help.
Well, what's interesting, and I'll read off the exact quote here in just a second, but I don't think Magic said anything that – did you walk away from this season saying, we got to get Dennis Schroeder back? Dennis Schroeder's got to be back with the Lakers.
No.
You know what? If there's one player that you want to keep this offseason – you're going to go pay him 15 to 20. It's Dennis Schroeder. I didn't walk away from that. Did you?
No.
I don't think many Laker fans did either. So I don't think there is this, I don't think there is this feeling amongst Laker fans. I think Magic actually said things that probably a lot of other Laker fans feel that, okay, this guy is not 100%. You got to get him back. I'll read off the exact quote here. He said he's talking about his winning mentality, which, by the way, sounds interesting to me. But he says, I don't think he's a Laker. That's just my opinion. I don't know if they're going to sign him back or not. I don't think he brings the winning mentality and attitude that we need. He had a chance to show that in the series, and to me, he failed in the series. This was an interview on Fox Sports. So, Trav, let me just say this. I don't think what he said is crazy. Okay, probably not the greatest thing to have that from Matt. Does that make maybe the front office's job a little bit more difficult because you got this that comes out and it's coming out from a guy like Magic Johnson and then we add some fuel to the fire because we're talking about it? Sure, but I think the actual substance of what he said is not inaccurate. In my opinion, I don't think the substance of what he said is inaccurate.
No, I think the substance of what he said, at least as far, I think there's two separate tracks going on here. The substance of we don't need him back, that's fine. That's a basketball opinion. If you don't think that Dennis Schroeder is the answer to your basketball problems and you don't want him back, fine. That's one thing. Second part is the true Laker thing or legitimate Laker. Or
I don't think he's a Laker.
What it takes to be a Laker. Or that same silly stuff we heard about LeBron, that's a separate thing. The third thing is the one that I think is the most interesting. And why does Magic light these little fires for Pelinka? Why does Magic do that? Because Magic knows. He's Magic Johnson. He is my favorite Laker of all time. He is one of the Laker fans' favorite players of all time. It's Magic. If you're one of two things, you're a Magic guy or you're a Kobe guy. Those are the two camps that most people. If you're a little bit older, maybe.
And most, I was gonna say, most of it has typically to do with when you grew up.
Sure,
right?
Like, for sure.
If you're maybe, I don't know, 35 and under, Kobe was your guy. If you're over that, a lot of people was Magic, and that's not to say it wasn't Kareem and some of these other players, but for the most part, it's one of those two.
But Magic knows, look, Magic's a really, really smart guy. Mm-hmm. Magic knows that when he says that, that creates a problem for Pelinka. Magic knows that whenever he weighs in on the personnel, whenever he weighs in on roster construction, whenever he weighs in on anything that's not just love my Lakers, hope they win another, you know, that it's going to reverberate. Why does he do it? Because it's not inadvertent. It's not accidental. He knows that he's given Pelinka and the Lakers a little bit of a rash by bringing this stuff up.
I disagree, actually, because Magic, it's not like this is the first time Magic has done this. Remember back in the Jim Buss days, things weren't very quiet with Magic Johnson. Magic always has commented.
Because he was trying to undermine Jim Buss.
No, but I think, Trav, I think this is, you're a Laker fan. I'm a Laker fan. Magic is as big of a Laker fan as anybody else out there. I genuinely believe that Magic gives his opinion on what he sees from the Los Angeles Lakers. I know what you're saying. You're saying, no, there's a little bit more to it. Maybe there is more to it. Maybe I'm naive. But I do think that Magic, at the end of the day, no matter who's in the front office, no matter what's going on, and this has been Magic's history, the guy is not going to stay quiet and not give his opinion on what's going on with the franchise and the organization. I'm not saying that it helps the Lakers. I'm not saying that Pelinka's probably sitting back and saying, well, that's a great quote. This is really going to help my job. But I don't know if Magic, in my opinion, I don't think he's intentionally doing anything. I think he's giving his genuine opinion, and I think he's doing it in this case with Schroeder.
I don't think you can – look, Magic Johnson, from the time he's become a public person, going all the way back to his time at Michigan State, has lived his life with a smile on his face. He is an incredibly engaging, gregarious, warm,
sure,
fun guy. That he, mm-hmm, he's all of those things. Magic is also more successful than 99.999999% of the human beings on this earth. Mm-hmm. You don't get to be that successful without being pretty tactical, without knowing how to throw a punch, without knowing how to manipulate certain situations, without being pretty damn shrewd.
But what's the upside? What's the upside of this situation?
The upside is he gets to blank with Rob Pelinka. We know that they don't see eye to eye. We know that they don't like each other. We know that Magic left the team under very difficult circumstances. There are hard feelings about that. What he gets out of it is, I just created another problem for that guy for a day.
But couldn't
that's
he,
what he gets out
could,
of it.
Couldn't he, if that's going to be the case, I think he's going to say things that are much different. I think he's going to say he's talking about a specific player on the Lakers, which in question for a lot of Laker fans is, I don't know if we should bring back Dennis Schroeder. You know what? The guy gave up 4 years, $84 million. Maybe the Lakers caught a break. He wants to go be and kind of run that free agency course, let him. If Magic went on the other end, if Magic, let's just say, for example, said something along the lines of, I really don't like the construction of how the Lakers put this team together. I knew this wasn't going to work. I mean, if it was comments like that, that was saying, I could have told you before they even got to the playoffs, Lakers had no chance because of the players.
I mean, Pelinka went and got Schroeder. Pelinka's the one that offered him the $84 million extension. Pelinka's the one that's going to have to negotiate with him moving forward. He's basically saying, you already got it wrong once. Are you going to get it wrong again?
I think actually you look at the other side of it. It's when he says, I want to read the exact thing that he mentioned here, and he's talking about specifically what Dennis Schroeder was not doing in the playoffs. I don't question any of this. By the way, he also said this. He said, at the end of the day, if everything is good – or no. He said, if he comes back a Laker, I'm going to support him. I'm going to cheer for him and all that. But I just don't think he's a Laker, which is a very aggressive quote there.
Magic Johnson. This isn't somebody that's just some guy. This isn't Travis and Slee just offering – this is Magic Blanken Johnson.
But I think this is
– weight.
But I think this is a common thread from Laker fans. That's the one thing I kind of walk away with is, Trav, you're not – I get what you're saying. It's Magic and it's not us saying it, but you've said things like this. I've said things like this. I've questioned whether Dennis Schroeder is a right player for the Lakers. I've said I don't think they should get maybe that $84 million contract that they didn't give him might be a blessing in disguise for the Lakers.
I get it. We ain't Magic. And very few people, nobody is. Maybe if LeBron said it, it might have the same sort of impact. You know, if Kobe were around to say something like that, maybe it has, but Magic is a different animal. If you are on hold, stay there. Sleep. We got a whole stable full of Uber drivers that need to weigh in on what you're talking about. So we'll get to that. But before all of that, it is the Bunch of Funch of Funch of Lunch. That's coming up next. Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Look at Funch is getting
Look
the
at
sponsorships.
That. Sponsorships.
Sponsorships, his own segment.
Don't even look me in the eye anymore, guys, please.
Actually, let me tell you the full story of what happened with the sponsorship. The sponsorship, Mark Cates, who's one of our sales reps, he said, hey, listen, we got Travis. This is a seasoned vet. Been on the radio for a while. Alan, you know, he thinks he knows what he's doing on radio. He said, not interested. We'll take Funch's. And that's how this thing worked out. That's how it played out.
Big commitment from them. Thank you. Thank you, Pointy Hills Mazda.
Absolutely.
All right, guys. All right. With the recent U.S. intelligence report on a knowledge of UFOs coming out, I don't know if you guys heard about this recent report that came out.
Okay.
Canned goods.
With that coming out, Oreo decided to get on the fun by having a campaign that they'd be willing to give free Oreo double stuffs for life to any alien life form that comes to and makes contact with Earth. Now, Oreo describes the company's mission.
It's an interesting negotiation here. Okay,
Oreo describes their company's mission to bring all life forms together and treat them to Earth's best cookie. So if the aliens came down and came to Travis or Sliwa first, and offering them an Oreo, or what food would you be offering them to best represent the planet Earth?
I'm not going Oreos. And first of all, I don't
Why
know
not?
That's
Those are good,
be,
man.
And They're I'm not. That's good. Not going to be the difference here. And let me tell you what we're dealing with, Trav. Trav, you last week mentioned where are they hanging out. Where are they?
San Diego.
Out? Okay, right why in coast. San Diego?
Right.
They're coming for the military. Okay, they're going yeah. to get they're going to get our military. So if they're already in San Diego, can I find them a nice taco shop? Can I say, look, we're already here. Let's start the negotiations. Let's go to a couple different taco shops that I know. Take a seat. Let's all relax. Grab an horchata. Let's see what we got here.
You know, that's, by the way, not a bad way to go. The official food of San Diego, fish tacos, get the aliens squared away. That's not a bad way. Cookies. See, look, everybody likes something sweet, right? That's not a bad way to go. Here's the part I don't like. Why are we pretending that this is a joke? They're coming for us. They exist. They're off the coast of San Diego. Okay? They have machines that we don't understand. They are able to do things that we – this is not something, oh, hey, we're going to hold hands. Has nobody ever seen The Simpsons when Kang and Kodos enslaved everybody in Springfield when they showed up? I don't want to be an alien slave. I would not be
but
good at
But they still got
to
eat, man.
They got to eat
something.
Yeah,
they're going to eat
us.
Maybe that's what they want.
The fact that you're this disrespectful to what could be guests that we have on Earth is kind of just shows – this goes back to the Uber thing where you're just trying to sit front seat. You just got no respect for anybody.
I'm scared of the aliens. That is true. I'm putting it out there right now. When they come, I'll do whatever you guys want. I will turn on my fellow mankind very quickly. I will tell you where everyone's hiding. I will tell you where the boats are and the airplanes, where we keep them. I will have your back.
Can I just say this on the Oreo thing? What a smart marketing plan. Just freaking jump on this whole thing. They're going to get some extra publicity for stupid stuff like that. That's a good marketing.
And who knows?
Maybe an alien
does want some free Oreos for life, man.
Never know.
Taylor. All right, so my man Andrew Zimmer, of all those shows, Bizarre Foods, was on a Bro Bible podcast when he was asked about pineapple on pizza. Zimmer said, pineapple pizza is delicious, especially with salty meat. Salty, spicy, sweet, and sour is a holy quartet of flavor combinations in many cultures. Okay. Now, usually I agree with this guy on everything but when it comes to food and good food, but I don't see eye to eye with this guy when it comes to pineapple on pizza. So, guys, I ask you one of life's most asked questions. Does pineapple belong on a pizza?
So, you want to go first, Trav?
Sure. It's not my first choice. It's not something I'd
ever
choose.
No,
to order,
don't say it.
But if it's there, I'm going to have a piece of it. Sure, it's fine. Like, to your point, the sweetness of the pineapple combined with the spiciness of a jalapeno combined with the saltiness of some pepperoni or some ham, it's a pretty darn good combination. It's not my first choice, but first of all, Slee, you always give me a hard time for this, saying that there's a right answer. There's really no wrong way to eat pizza. It's pizza. You can't get it.
It is a wrong way to eat pizza with a pineapple on it.
Okay. Here's reality. It's not going to be my top 10 choice. So, Funches, I'm with you on this. By the way, Funches, I'm with you on this. If it's on the pizza and that's like the only thing that I got, even if I try to take the pineapple off, which I prefer to do because I don't care for the pineapple, it still kind of tastes
like pineapple.
The pineapple
juice is all over the cheese.
It's still on there. So I'm not a fan of the pineapple on pizza. There's so many different options that are so much better. Why kind of throw that mix together?
That could be on my – you know, remember in high school when you'd have like your senior year and you'd have your little quote in the yearbook next to your picture?
Yeah.
That should be mine. I'll eat it. That's it.
I don't think anyone will question that.
I'll eat it.
Taylor, I got to shout out Greg and Amanda to get me off the show because I don't like to do the show with guys that like pineapple on a pizza. Or anyway, Sports Insider did some research and came up with the 6 most hated NBA players based on geotag Twitter data compiled off the last month. Tweets
like
I hate LeBron were counted. So with 3 strikes, guys, can you name the 6 most hated NBA players according to Twitter?
Okay, so Trav, obviously LeBron.
There's one.
KD's got to be on that list.
There's 2.
Kyrie's got to be on that list.
There's 3.
You think Chris Paul makes the cut here?
Ooh.
Actually, wait. Let's wait on that. Harden makes the cut?
Harden probably makes the cut.
You want to go to Harden? Harden, final answer?
Hold on. Let me think. It's not Giannis. It's not Trae Young.
Steph ain't going to be on there.
Probably not. It's not
Draymond,
Luka, right?
How about Draymond?
Final answer?
Draymond famous enough to make that? I think Harden's our best answer there.
Okay, go Harden.
Harden, you're right.
Yeah.
You got 4, guys.
Okay, how about Draymond?
Draymond, no Draymond.
Yeah, not big enough.
Who else is hated? Oh, PG.
Ooh, PG? That's a good one.
PG financer?
Yeah.
PG is on the list.
Yeah.
Damn.
So we got one more to go.
Two more strikes.
PG's got to be the quietest guy to be hated.
Well, playoff P, and you hit the side of the backboard. It doesn't. You can't do that.
It's funny. Only one state hates Paul George.
California?
No.
Oklahoma?
No. New Mexico.
Well, that's weird.
Yeah, I know. That's what I said.
That's very random.
But he violated two rules. A, gave himself a nickname, bad look. And number two, his nickname was about how good he is in certain moments, and he's not good in those moments. Who's the last guy, Funch?
Well, you guys want to take one shot. I'll give
East
you one
West.
Shot.
One more
East. He's in the East. He's in the East.
I got one. I got it. Embiid?
No. Russell Westbrook.
Ah. We should have known that one.
I don't know why. He's a feisty player,
polarizing.
But he's not... You know, unlikable. Mm-hmm. And it's funny, LeBron James hated in 24 states.
24 states.
LeBron hated in 24 states, so basically half the union.
Don't hate the player, hate the game.
You know what you have to be on that list? Really,
good.
Really good.
Yeah, exactly. You got to be talented.
All right, guys, that's all I have for you.
Surprised Westbrook is on there. That one surprised me a little bit. All right, we have Uber drivers on hold. We're getting back to them. We're going to find out whether or not my Uber tactics are acceptable or not. Plus, we'll get.
When's the last time you washed a car? Did you wash a car recently? I'm just curious.
I'm not an auto mechanic. I just want a little leg room. That's all.
Pop the hood open for a quick second. I want to take a quick look at here before
going. What kind of a Prestone are you? What do you got in here?
Looks like you're 300 miles over. Probably should have got an oil change before you picked me up, huh? What do you think?
That left front tire's a little low. Probably down to, 34, 35 PSI? I don't even know what that means. I just know that.
What's the horsepower on this thing, sir? It's a Camry.
All right. The Clippers have a game tonight. Can Kawhi Leonard crawl back into the conversation? I'll tell you what the conversation is. That's next. Travis and Salee, 710 ESPN.